Showers and thunderstorms starting by late morning. Some storms could be strong with a high of 74. It's 63 degrees at 8 o'clock.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Israel's army says the bodies of three more hostages killed by Hamas on October 7th have been recovered from Gaza. The news comes as the UN's top court prepares to rule on an urgent request by South Africa that Israel halt its military action in Gaza immediately. The NCAA and five major sports conferences have reached a deal that calls for revenue sharing with college athletes. How much could they make?
There's no stipulations on exactly how much will go to each athlete or each individual, but there's certainly some questions that remain about whether Title IX will factor into that.
That's senior writer for The Athletic, Justin Williams. This weekend, the unofficial kickoff to summer, severe storms getting in the way of at least some people's plans, especially those who are flying. Australian media reporting that a massive landslide in Papua New Guinea.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. $48 million worth of new building projects in Wisconsin just got the green light. The State Building Commission approved the funding yesterday. The money will go from everything from an addition to the Milwaukee Regional Medical Campus in Wauwatosa to an equipment storage building for the Department of Natural Resources. Black voters may very well decide the winner of this year's election, but black vote organizers admit they're fighting an enthusiasm gap this year. This could be due to any number of reasons.
You have, you know, some black folks that are concerned about the ceasefire, you know, that's going on in Gaza. And you have some black folks that are concerned about reproductive justice. You have others that are concerned about economics.
Ashley C.J. Daniels is with a nonprofit called Black Girls Vote. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
With news from the center, I'm Joanne Krulotz. The Richland School District will again provide summer meals to local children through 18 years of age. Families can register for free breakfast and lunch for their children via the form posted on the district's website. Meal pickups will be once per week on Thursdays from 11 to 4, except Wednesday, July 3rd, due to the holiday. To receive meals by the first distribution date, participants must pre-register for meals by Friday, May 31st. Children do not need to be Richland School District students, but must be district residents or open enrolled into the district. The district is also seeking volunteers to help pack and distribute meals. Volunteer registration can be found on the district website. UW-Milwaukee's chancellor has issued an apology over a deal struck with campus protesters. After receiving criticism from Milwaukee's Jewish community and universities of Wisconsin President Jay Rothman over an agreement reached to end a two-week-long pro-Palestinian protest. And that's what you need to know. I'm Joanne Krulotz.
The Packers OTAs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports reporting from Boston. The Packers wasted no time this week during OTAs to challenge second-year kicker Anders Carlson, who led the league in missed field goal attempts his rookie season. Former Vikings kicker Greg Joseph was 3-for-3 from 47 yards out. Carlson, 2-for-3.
When you're in the NFL, your talent's pretty good. I think over time, results will pay off, so just trusting the process.
NBA playoffs. The Celtics beating the Pacers again here in Boston, 126-110. Tyrese Halliburton from Oshkosh suffering a hamstring injury for Indiana. He's questionable for Game 3. Baseball tonight at Fenway Park as the Red Sox host the Brewers. Boston in third place behind the Yankees and the Orioles in the American League. The Brewers losing that series to the Marlins in Miami.
Yeah, that's how baseball goes, you know. You just have to keep going. You know, you're going to go through some tough stretches. You're going to go through some great stretches, but that's why you keep putting the work in, keep grinding, and eventually it'll start going your way.
That's the Brewers' Christian Yelich from Boston with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms likely this afternoon. Our high today, 76. Wind will be southeast at 15 to 25. Tonight, clearing 48. Tomorrow, sunshine 73. And then we have more scattered rain and thunderstorms likely on Sunday and Monday with highs in the mid to upper 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 61.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on News from the Center. 107.7 FM and 1450 AM WRCE and on the Civic Media app.
And here's Heather with the weather.
Well, it's beautiful out there. Sunny and 75. Almost a little chilly in the shade. Now, let's get a read on the inside of your car. It is hot. You've only been parked a short time, and it's already 99 degrees in there. Let's not leave children in the back seat while running errands. It only takes a few minutes for their body temperatures to rise, and that could be fatal.
Cars get hot fast and can be deadly. Never leave a child in a car. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in Friday for a special Best of Devil's Advocates. Never Trumper, former Congressman Joe Walsh, and my congressman, Mark Pocan.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Hey, what's happening?
Brother, what's up?
This is a hey, how you doing?
Party, man.
Yeah,
I can dig it.
Stop it.
Right on.
All right, good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Hey, good morning, G. Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good. I think I spoke too soon about good weather for the weekend yesterday, but at least it's a long one.
It's
a,
you know, Calvin, at least it's not ice and snow.
That is a good point.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, and Calvin, I can see you, man. You got that smile on your face, man. You got an extra day off, man.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. You got some big plans set up?
Honestly, no. Just going to hang out around the house.
Yeah, okay.
Is your committee going to mow the lawn again, Calvin?
Yeah, especially if we're going to get more rain, it will definitely need to be done.
Man, the lawns are thriving, aren't they?
I guess they are, yeah. And
yeah.
Yeah, much to our chagrin.
Those
of us who mow them, at least.
Yeah, so good morning. That's my co-host, Sandy Williams. Sandy, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing all right. Doing quite well, in fact. Although, well, the gendarme on my way into the radio show this morning decided that the flow of traffic in which I was participating was going a bit fast, and he selected me. I won the lottery. Well, kind of.
Do you know why he selected you?
I don't.
That beautiful deep blue.
No, I have the little. Just a little car,
yeah.
A little inconspicuous car today.
I thought it was the deep blue, beautiful car. And the guy probably said, hey, this guy has money. Let's get him. But no, you have the little one.
Yeah, well, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I won the lottery, and that's that.
Sandy, you know, yesterday I had some conversation about Memorial Day. And as a young boy, enjoying going downtown, watching the Memorial Day parade that we always had in Milwaukee for over a century. And I don't know, about 5 years ago, they stopped having it. And they said the reason they stopped having it was they could no longer afford, they couldn't find sponsors. And I just thought, and I don't know, probably many other places, Sandy, have kind of done the same thing. What's happened to us that we you know, have forgotten about the 1.25 million people who've lost their lives in wars? And those before us knew how important that was, and they kept that tradition going. What is it about us that we no longer see that as important as we once did?
I really don't know. I mean, I think that one of the problems is that many of the people who come back from war now are not as enthusiastic about it. As you know, the Great War, World War II, was a unified view, and it was understood exactly why we were in that war, and it was really a war to fight evil, right? I mean, it was, but the current veterans, many of them come back ever since Vietnam with very, very mixed feelings. And I have that, I have a view that possibly the lack of Memorial Day parades is because they actually end up being an opportunity for people to question what the military does. And many of the people who are questioning it are the veterans who've gallantly gone off to serve the country, and come back with maybe mixed views. But also I do think that it's a shame that, that there aren't sponsors out there who want to sponsor, the honoring of the people, regardless of what we think of what the, challenge was that we were facing. The people who go off to war on behalf of the United States are people who are doing something
right
for all of us.
And should never be forgotten.
That's right. I mean, I think, quite frankly, I have a view that we've sent too many people off to too many places for war. But the fact is that all of those people volunteered because they were patriots and wanted to do the right thing.
Yeah, well, some were drafted, but you know,
well, that, they used to be.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, we haven't had a draft since the 1970s. So
right.
Other than the Vietnamese War, none of the foreign adventures we've been involved with have involved drafted people.
And do you think as well, because as I was thinking about it, I know my dad, you know, who was in the Korean War. I know my dad always, this always meant something. And those guys from, you know, those years who fought in those wars, they're gone, and these people are leaving, and there are less and less of them, right? You know, if you see the honor flights that they do, they started off with World War II vets, and you know, and then the Korean vets, and now there aren't many of them left. So then they're at the Vietnam vets. And pretty soon, you know, so is it the fact that so many of those heroes are gone and they're not there anymore to make sure that these things continue? We've got some friends, you and I.
Sure. I don't have personal experience, so I can't. I do know that I do honor and respect all who go in the military. And I think those who go in the military are particularly cemented to one another, okay?
Right.
And I think one of the things that happens that we don't understand is the extent to which people who serve together in platoons and battalions become very connected to one another and in such a meaningful way because they stood shoulder to shoulder having one another's back in the most perilous circumstances. And so I think in many respects that's what means so very much to the veterans is the connections they made.
Yeah, and so, you know, just... I just thought about it yesterday. I'm going to say it again today, and we'll move on from it. But give it some thought over this, you know, Memorial Day weekend, the reason and the rationale for Memorial Day. I was talking about, you know, you've been to Wood Cemetery. I bet you have.
Yes.
When you go there, it's
well, if you go to Arlington, I mean,
Arlington.
Arlington, we've got wood here,
yeah,
and it is acres and acres and acres, but Arlington is...
That's the one I'm talking about.
It's square mile. I mean, it's vast, and I've never been to Normandy, but I understand that that also is equally moving to realize all those people that were lost right there on the beach in that important invasion.
And, you know, today and for the next week or so... Down at the lake at the War Memorial, they've got 27,000 flags. And I'm going to go down and take a look at it because to just envision, right, that in Arlington especially, those rows and the silence.
Well, I mean, what people who've gone to war go through is just unimaginable to those of us who haven't. I was having some heart surgery long ago in 2001. And it was slated for June 6th, and I was very worried about myself. And then finally I realized, you know, if I was another generation, I'd be landing on Normandy on June 6th. There wouldn't be any white gowns or anesthesia or protection of any sort, you know. What those guys went through was unbelievable.
And I just think, Sandy, we don't think about it enough as a nation. And since there's this day that's set aside— and in remembrance that, you know, do you think they're teaching Normandy in the schools much today?
Well, I'm afraid I don't know what they're teaching in the schools these days.
Yeah, well, how can you and I not know, and everybody else knows, they're teaching all these other things? But shouldn't the history, that history, be taught?
Well, I'm pretty sure it is. But I think that the history has to memorialize not only what the American soldiers did, but what all the soldiers did. I mean, we talk about how Americans won World War II, but that was just the Western Front. You know, the Eastern Front was far bloodier. You know, I think the other thing about Memorial Day that might frighten those who are interested in getting volunteers for the military is Memorial Day does memorialize and cause us all to reflect and remember some of the horrors of war, okay? And I think we all ought to be aware of that.
Yeah, and I always like to bring it up, Sandy, because I so oftentimes hear people rallying and beating the drums that it's now time to get ready for China. You know, I mean, just, you know, think about what war is. It's horrible. There's nothing good about war. You would concur with me on that.
Yeah. I mean, war at some periods in time and in some circumstances apparently becomes an unavoidable necessity based on circumstance. But those circumstances ought to be carefully weighed and carefully measured from the standpoint of where we ought to be and what we ought to be doing.
You know, we got a lot to talk about this morning, Sandy, including China launches military drills. I was watching a news outlet, national news outlet, last night, and they were talking about, you know, China's going to be, you know, doing these drills around Taiwan. There's a new president in Taiwan, and he's no nonsense. He doesn't want China, and he's telling China, well, he can be the new president of Taiwan, Sandy. He can be the new president of Taiwan. But if he's dictating to China and telling them where he's not going to tolerate, well, he can't do that on his own. He's doing that and sending message. Shouldn't he get an okay from the United States before he starts talking like that?
Well, it depends on how involved we want to be in and about Taiwan, and I think we have to be very careful about that. You know, what China's doing is something we do with Cuba all the time. We have naval operations in Cuba, but all around Cuba all of the time, and we ought to understand that Cuba is about as proximate to the United States in terms of distance as Taiwan is to China. And so, you know, and China's claim to Taiwan is probably direct as compared to the interest we might have with Cuba, which has always been a separate country.
Well, Sandy, we've got a text message from Brendan. Says, don't forget the Trump assassination attempt. Hey, we've got it. We've got it on the docket, Brendan. Sandy and I are definitely going to cover it. So don't go anywhere. 844-967-2789, Memorial Day weekend edition of the Earl Ingram Show. It's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host Sandy Williams and you.
From the center, WRCE.
An unsuspecting driver at a gas station in Wisconsin.
Welcome, Paul 15. How you doing?
Great.
Were you wearing your seatbelt today?
I never wear my seatbelt.
We're going to get him. We're going to get him real good.
Oh, my goodness.
Hello, sir. How you doing? Dollar driver. Right, it takes 1 second to strap a seatbelt on. Well, let's do this. Let's do it together. Now, don't that feel better?
Donald Driver can't always be there to remind you.
Click it or tick it.
And let's reduce fatalities on Wisconsin roadways.
And I should have recognized your voice when you're harassing
I'm watching you.
Sponsored by Wisconsin DOT.
There's no better time than now to join Badger men's basketball at the Kohl Center. Secure your seats today and be there as the Badgers face off against Big Ten rivals all month on their home court. For more information on Wisconsin men's basketball and to purchase tickets, visit uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. That's uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
All right, welcome back to a Friday edition of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You know, it's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host Sandy Williams. And Sandy the DJ, what is that record you're spinning?
Well, that's the Cordettes from Sheboygan, Wisconsin, who I think that was a number one hit back in the 1950s, but the Cordettes were a big deal. And so today, actually, I picked up music by Wisconsin-connected musicians, most of them singer-songwriters, but it's an interesting collection. Interestingly, when I looked at the list, I was surprised at the concentration of them here in Waukesha. Our studio is here in Waukesha, and many of them were Waukesha natives or connected to Waukesha.
So you know, we can't help but, you know, since talking about Memorial Day, China launches military drill surrounding Taiwan. Taiwan has a new president. He's talking very boldly, Sandy. China has launched military drills surrounding Taiwan the week the Democrats' Asian island inaugurated a new president, who called on China in his inaugural address to cease its political and military intimidation of Taiwan. Pretty bold statements, Sandy, for the president of a small island. China's Eastern Theater Command says the Air Force, Navy, and infantry will be involved in the war games, which will last until Friday. China's state media outlet said the drills were a show of force intended to serve as a strong punishment for the separatist acts of Taiwan's independence forces, a veiled reference to Taiwan's new president, Lei Ching-te, who China has called a dangerous separatist. Taiwan said it had dispatched air and naval forces to monitor the drills, which its defense ministry called an irrational provocation that highlights China's hegemonic nature. So Sandy, it's akin to a flea taking on an elephant. Taiwan sending these messages to China, I'm sure China can't take that. You know, they're not losing any sleep over it.
Well, I mean, the problem from the American standpoint is that Taiwan and the flea that it is, as compared to the elephant scale of China, could only say and do such things if they thought they had powerful allies who would stand behind them. It's kind of like the little kid goes up to the big kid on the playground and starts threatening him and points over his shoulder and says, you know, I've got Bozo here. You know, and Bozo's going to take care of you if you don't. So, I mean, I think the United States has to be very careful about the extent to which it emboldens Taiwan to bait China into doing something, because that might end up giving us a very tough decision to make, particularly based on the fact that, you know, back in the late 70s, we adopted a one China, early 70s, and then in 79, officially, a one China policy that clearly implicitly recognized that Taiwan was a part of China. And we have never recognized Taiwan as a separate country, and we've always had this purposeful ambiguity. We even call it that. We have this ambiguous policy, which we do purposefully with respect to Taiwan, because we are not ready to recognize it as a country or to wave the red flag at China with respect to it. On the other hand, we've continually given increasing lip service to the notion that we would defend Taiwan. And what What we did say in 79 was that it was a one China policy we were agreeing to, but that we would consider a defense of Taiwan if China were to take military action against Taiwan. So what we don't want Taiwan to do is bait China into taking military action.
So do you anticipate he'll be called on the carpet by our government?
I don't know. I don't know.
I think he should be.
I think one of the problems we have is when we allow something like Taiwan to become a matter of our domestic political argument, it gets harder for us to deliver hard messages. We can already see how that's happened with respect to Israel. Okay.
Right.
And Taiwan could become a very complex issue for us. So, I think we should definitely send them a message that, don't do this. Don't bait China. You know, let things live and let live. The leaders of the big business in Taiwan, particularly the chip manufacturers in Taiwan, are not interested in fomenting a problem with China. They are inextricably tied up with mainland China in their businesses. And, of course, the strategic interest we have in Taiwan primarily, to the extent we have one now, is relating to the chip industry. 80 years ago, 60 years ago, there really was little or no strategic interest that we had in the island of Formosa, now Taiwan, other than the fact that it was a place where a bunch of the nationalists who lost the Chinese Civil War were exiled.
You know, Sandy, I will say to you that after watching the war in Israel and Gaza play out, and President Biden and our military brass, and when Iran fired all those rockets, our government clearly stated, "Whoa, wait a minute, we don't want any escalation." That to me kind of gave me a belief that our government does see that. The military brass does see we don't want to get engaged in something that drags us into something that we know we can't get out of.
Well, I mean, that's the issue with respect to proxy wars, wars where we're supplying weaponry to one of the combatants, is the issue associated with that is the extent to which we would put strings associated with it, that we would try to control the conduct of the combatant that we're supplying arms to. And of course, I think that the supply of arms brings with it essentially a right to put conditions upon it, because it's being done gratuitously and it's being done for the interests of the country that is providing the arms. But it clearly becomes an issue to the extent that the conditions that might be applied to it become a matter of dispute internally in our country. And we can see that happening with Ukraine, okay? What are the conditions that ought to be attached to the support of Ukraine? And we've begun to see that fight carried out in partisan politics. And that's not a very comfortable place for it to be carried out, particularly with respect to the combatants who might be relying upon it, whom we might have set up in a situation where they necessarily need to rely upon it. So that, for instance, as we watch Ukraine, in Taiwan, if Taiwan were to create a circumstance in which China felt compelled to invade, to assert its one China policy, what would we do? And what strings would we attach? And how willing would we be to get completely immersed in such a big war?
All right. It's Friday. That means Fridays with my co-host Sandy Williams on the other side. Donald Trump's, how do I say it? Donald Trump's.
You mean the potential assassination,
yes,
of Donald Trump?
I don't have to say it. Sandy said it. 844-967-2789 is the number.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The researchers who found two ancient dugout canoes in Madison's Lake Mendota now say they found fragments or chunks of at least eight more canoes in the lake. The oldest one is thought to be about 4,500 years old. It's an astonishing find that could teach us more about 1,000 years of Native history in Wisconsin. Wisconsin tourism officials expect a lot of people to get out and enjoy summer. Logan Rogie of Travel Wisconsin says there's plenty to do, even if you don't travel far.
There's free museums. State parks are always great to go visit if you buy that annual pass. So there's plenty of ways to get out and enjoy Wisconsin, regardless of what your budget is.
Rogie says 86% of Americans plan to spend at least as much money on travel this summer as they have in the past. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
With news from the center, I'm Joanne Krulotz. Apache Blues Welcome Home will be shown at the Ontario Ball Diamond Saturday night at 9. Arrive early to enjoy music, food, and refreshments. The Kay Sterling Band will perform at 3:15, and Dan Koba and the Journeymen will perform at 6. Admission is free, but donations will be accepted to benefit the Tunnels to Towers Foundation. Madison has nearly recovered from this week's severe weather. Madison Gas and Electric says 90% of customers who lost power Tuesday night have their power back. About 46,000 customers were without power, the largest outage in recent history. Full restoration might take a few more days as poles and downed lines are repaired. Madison Public Works has opened up brush collection to help people clear their yards of debris as well. Today's forecast calls for mostly cloudy skies and breezy conditions with occasional showers and thunderstorms. Some storms could be strong in a high of 74. And that's what you need to know. I'm Joanne Krulotz.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. It's finally here. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Furiosa, a Mad Max saga, opens this weekend in what is expected to be a big one for the summer box office. Anna Joy Taylor plays the role of Furiosa in the George Miller-directed follow-up to 2015's Mad Max Fury Road. Furiosa is at 88% on Rotten Tomatoes. Family-friendly Garfield opens this weekend in the U.S. after having already grossed $50 million overseas. Reviews are just so-so, but audiences approve. If you're looking for a critic's darling, check out Richard Linklater's new film, Hitman, starring Glenn Powell. The film is at 98% on the tomato meter. If you don't feel like leaving home, Dune 2 is available to stream on Max, and other early summer hits are available to stream like Challengers, The Fall Guy, and Anne Hathaway's The Idea of You. Have fun at the movies and have a safe weekend. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms likely this afternoon. Our high today, 76. Wind will be southeast at 15 to 25. Tonight, clearing 48. Tomorrow, sunshine 73. And then we have more scattered rain and thunderstorms likely on Sunday and Monday with highs in the mid to upper 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp, 62.
The Todd Alba Show.
The fantastic Jane Matt Nair of Matt Nair on Air. I'm a big fan of like the Rose Bowl, the Orange Bowl, the Cotton Bowl. Well, now from Snoop Dogg, they're going to have the Snoop Bowl, the Snoop Bowl. How about that, Jane?
I think we're missing the obvious. Where's the Punch Bowl? Where's the Toilet Bowl? I think that there are other bowls that are being neglected.
I think it could maybe be the Snooper Bowl, though.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
Next up, I'll be joined by U.S. Supreme Court expert and attorney Daniel Cotter. I'll also be joined by Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reporter James Causey. What is up with student-teacher affairs?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
cement mixer. Putty, putty. Cement mixer. Putty, putty. Cement mixer. Goes putty, putty. A puddle of booty. A puddle of scooty. And a puddle of gooty. It's pretty sad, isn't it?
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. I mean, it's Fridays with my co-host, Sandy. So the music selection.
Well, presentation of Wisconsin musicians would be complete without Liberace.
Oh, that was Liberace.
That's Liberace.
I've never heard him.
Do putty putty cement mixer?
No, I mean, that doesn't even sound like the Liberace that...
Well, that's who that was.
Yeah. Calvin, you don't know who Liberace... No, I wouldn't think
he doesn't know Liberace.
No, how could he possibly know Liberace?
Well, Liberace was a flamboyant piano player from West Dallas who was on TV all the time.
He was from West Dallas?
Yeah, I think it was West Dallas. Yeah. He was on TV all the time from... all through the 50s and 60s.
He was certainly acclaimed and reached international fame.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, only Sandy Williams can bring up Liberace.
he wasn't my hero, but everyone knew about Liberace. He was, and his candelabra. Candelabra up on the piano.
I was about to say he wasn't very flashy, was he?
Oh, he definitely was. He was sort of the if there was an Elvis of piano playing, it was Liberace.
Yeah. Sandy, 844-967-2789. I know by now you guys, have heard about, former President Donald Trump making the claim that the FBI was at the ready to kill him in their Mar-a-Lago search. And he said this publicly. And he said that President Biden had kind of had him locked and loaded.
Yeah, I mean,
to kill him.
His suggestion was that Biden was leading a conspiracy that included the FBI that was designed to kill him. It's just craziness. When search warrants are issued, there's a bunch of form language that goes with them. And part of that form language involves the potential use of force, because obviously whenever anyone with a search warrant shows up at a house, somebody inside that house could be armed, could open the door with a gun, and the person issuing the warrant would need to defend themselves. So, the policies, and apparently you told me, I hadn't seen this, that the same policy document was in place for the search of Joe Biden's residence when they did the search for his documents. So, this is a form. This is simply a form that Donald Trump decided to seize upon to create in people's mind the notion that Joe Biden and the FBI could be involved in a massive conspiracy designed to accomplish his assassination. And it's all a part of an attack on the authority of the president's office when it's not held by Donald Trump, as well as a notion that the FBI and the law enforcement, the Justice Department, are political henchmen who will carry out any conspiracy theory that you can imagine. It's designed to attack the validity of our justice system, and he's carried out an attack on the courts. Every court that ever affects him is attacked, and its validity is attacked. And the same thing has happened with respect to the FBI and the CIA.
Sandy, those entities you just mentioned are the bedrock and the heart and soul of our government.
Well, certainly law enforcement is, And so are the courts. I mean, that's law enforcement and the courts are the way the rule of law gets implemented. If law enforcement and the courts are become political animals designed to do the bidding of the political leader, you've lost democracy. You've lost the rule of law. And I think the horror that I see in a Trump presidency will be his clear effort. He's already essentially described this as what he's going to do, is he's going to take hold of the FBI and load it with loyalists to Donald Trump, and he's going to take hold of the Justice Department and load it with loyalists to Donald Trump. At that point, what he's described as the potential use of law enforcement in a conspiracy designed for political purposes will become a reality. It'll be his reality, okay? It'll be the reality that Donald Trump has created by politicizing those organizations. And I think we should all sit up at night and worry about that particular outcome, because that's what authoritarianism is based on.
844-967-2789. Really want to hear your thoughts on this, Sandy, because and I think people should really think long and hard about this, Sandy. And what I mean is, if Donald Trump wins, and what you say happens, and everything points in a direction that he'll do that, how long will it be before Donald Trump sets in motion the fact that he can remain in office even after his 4 years?
Well, he whispers about that now. He sort of says it semi-jokingly, but I'm not sure that those are jokes. I just think that what we should all want is as independent as possible, Justice Department, FBI, law enforcement generally. You know, we don't think that the law enforcement in our localities is a tool of the mayor, okay? We think that it's independent, okay? And most places have set up police commissions to make sure that their police departments are independent from direct politics.
But Sandy, we've had that. That's what the government has been built on. So how can we not get people to understand that it's not the norm that he's attempting? He's trying to deconstruct all of those things. Let's go to Julie from Franklin. Good morning to you, Julie. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Hi, good morning. I don't know why we say happy Memorial Day, but I thank them for their service and for everyone that lost their lives and their families affected. I've been listening. I haven't called in a while. I haven't listened as much. You guys did the, you know, what did Biden do? What has Biden done? And what did Trump do? And I kind of got a little disappointed about how that came off with you guys, because it was just like you just ripped apart everything that Trump did. And then now we're talking, and it's all this scare tactics and what Donald Trump's going to do, and this is going to happen, and the same goes the other way. It's just this back and forth, and I don't know about you guys, but I'm, like, just tired of it, and it's like, let's, you know, you talk about, then you were talking about what the everyday average American, hardworking American, you know, wants, and they're important, but then in the next breath, we got, you know, Tom from L.A., who's obviously angry about something in his life, talking about, you know, half the country that voted for Donald Trump, that we're idiots, we don't know what we're talking about, then we laugh, we're laughing about somebody killing, you know, Trump saying that, you know, they want to kill him, and then we laugh about it. I mean, when that all goes on the other side, and we talk about Biden or something bad about him and laugh, it's, you know, these people are deplorables. They're, you know, they don't know what they're talking about. There's another guy, I think, Bill from Oconomowoc. He sounds like a really nice, smart man. He kind of reminds me of my dad. I'm not sure if I have his name right, but then he says, "Oh, we have to, you know, maybe if we can try to talk to these people and reason with them and try to make them see." Like, it's this condescending way that you talk about half of the country. It's no different than Hillary when she made her deplorable comment. That sealed the deal for her. And I think we, this, you know, it's getting old, and we need to look, what people are looking at is what their lives were like when Trump was in office and what their lives have been like with Biden in office. And unfortunately, guys, it's not better.
Hey, Julie, let me say a couple things, and then we'll let Sandy respond. But you say that, you know, what we said about Donald Trump, Sandy went on in the White House record of Donald Trump's time in office. Sandy, you remember? And it was based on what the White House said when Donald Trump was the president about his 30 accomplishments. That's not anything we made up. We took that from the White House itself under Donald Trump's accomplishments, as well as what we did when we brought up Joe Biden's accomplishments, according to what the White House said at that time. That's number one. Number two, you say that we, you know, when a guy who's running for president makes the statements that Donald Trump makes, and as somehow we should ignore those things that are outrageous and outlandish because it makes people feel bad. Well, Donald Trump, clearly, when he makes statements like he just made, that the FBI and the president of the United States wanted to assassinate him, that's not something people should be quiet about. When he makes threats about the, as Sandy just stated, the FBI, the CIA, and all of those things that he himself wants to totally dismantle, that impacts and affects all of the American citizens, we can't be silent on that, Julie. It doesn't matter if it makes people feel bad. The other part of this is, apparently you've never listened to conservative talk radio and conservatives and what they say. And so to say that what we are doing is kind of equivalent to that is just not true. You can respond, and then Sandy can respond.
Okay, well, number one, I didn't say the topics that you brought up about what each president accomplished. I didn't say they were inaccurate. I said it was the way you talked about them. Totally different. You picked apart whatever it was that Trump did. It was, well, you know, but that's not really, that doesn't really do anything, or that's not really that good. And you come off, not so much you, Earl, but Sandy comes off very condescending when he talks. And that's what, I don't know how most people feel, but a lot of people feel like that Democrats think they're better. It's the far, you know, the far left. It's the elitist talk, the lawyer talk, the I'm smarter, more educated, no better than you talk. The FBI, CIA thing, nobody wants to dismantle them.
Wait, Julie. Let me just, without being condescending, Donald Trump has talked about it. He said that he wants to do that. It's in the 2025 plan. He's also directly said that he's going to immediately, on day one, he said this. So, I mean, I'm not putting words in his mouth. These are his words. You know, I think we've tried to be, and to be honest with you, I've given credit to Donald Trump where some was due. I think some of his foreign policy is okay. I think some of the, you know, I'm not a Trump supporter, okay? I do think he's dangerous.
Sandy, we got to get you to hang on.
What he stands for.
You guys, hang on the lines. 844-967-2789 is the number.
I hurried away and I forgot the words.
News from the center, WRCE.
I'm Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I learned about atrial fibrillation the hard way. My symptoms would come and go, shortness of breath, fatigue. I kept going.
Then I got so lightheaded, I couldn't. My doctor said I have AFib, so I'm about 5 times more likely to have a stroke. Other symptoms, irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, can come and go, but the risk of stroke stays. If you have symptoms, tell a doctor. Visit notimetowait.com.
Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
This is News from the Setter, WRCE.
Every time we hear the music.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Fridays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And Sandy, you know, the last call of Julie takes offense to what is happening with Donald Trump. And he's clearly, you know, in the news cycle every day. He puts himself there.
Well, let me say, I think you and I, and I think the station, I think we've tried to be as moderate and centrist as possible in the way we analyze things. At least I know I have. But we can't just allow a false equivalency to exist if it is false. So if somebody on one side is constantly saying things that are that need to be paid attention to, it's wrong for us to say, well, this is old hat. We need to, you know, Donald, that's the way Donald Trump is. He says outrageous things all the time. We need to just ignore that and proceed. But if the outrageous thing is something that is central to and important to us, then I think we're required to talk about it. So, you know, yes, we probably do talk about Donald Trump more than we do Joe Biden. And it's unfortunate. It's not something that we're out to do. It's that he's basically calling the shot. The Trump team, but mainly Donald Trump, is trying to be in the news every day and plays in the world of outrage for the very purpose of accomplishing that. And if we ignore it, then I think it's a danger. It's a danger to us because some of these things are said purposefully and with intent.
So this is Brendan. He's live streamed from New Jersey. Good morning to you, Brendan. Thank you very much for paying attention to us. Your thoughts.
Thanks for taking my call, Earl. I just wanted to say that as a Democrat and somebody that lives in the Northeast and has an extensive knowledge of Donald Trump before he even went into office, with all the small companies that he stole, you know, basically never paid, and the guy had a poor history before he ran for office. And then I'm always kind of amazed when somebody on the Trump side will say, we'll just make blanket questions, but they never back it up with any context or facts. Like this young lady that was on the phone talks about what he did. What did he do? He did a couple of things, but if we were actually able to draw a list of what he messed up, and I mean the emoluments clause, I mean COVID, you know, the whole thing. And I just don't understand as a person from the Northeast how people don't understand this guy's out for himself, and you're voting for either autocracy or you're voting for democracy. And Project 2025 is never brought up. They don't know anything about that. It's all a mystery to them. So that's kind of what makes me a little confused when I hear from the other side. I think Bill Maher said it best. if half the country loves Donald Trump, you can't hate half the country. And that's a good statement. And I don't hate people that want to vote for Donald Trump. I just wonder what they're looking for from him, because they're never going, most of it, they're never going to get, just like we didn't in the first 4 years. And he's already met with world dictators out at Mar-a-Lago. He met with the oil companies and basically was ready to sell every piece of land he could to let them draw oil out of it. I mean, what more proof does this group need that this guy's ready to sell it out and become a dictator and not have another fair election after this one? That would be my comment.
Well, thank you very much for the comment. Sandy, you want to respond to anything Brendan had to say?
Well, I think a couple of things that have come to light that, you know, the conversation he had with the oil executives and suggesting to them that they ought to give him his campaign $1 billion because when he gets elected, he's going to do everything they could ever want. If that was, the shoe was on the other foot and Joe Biden had had that conversation, I think we would be hearing a lot about it. Another thing that just came to light was the fact that during his presidency, Donald Trump went to the British government and asked them to change the site of the British Open to be run at his golf course, okay? And made an official request. And when the ambassador to England, who was his appointee, was going to do it, the ethics officer in the State Department said, "Don't do it, don't do it." They did it anyway. Now, that would also be a big deal, okay? But we've become so inured to behavior that's outside the norm that we just give them, that there's sort of a free pass for it. It's like, oh, that's Donald Trump. You know, he's feathering his own nest. Well, that's the way he operates. All of this is something that we should not become inured to, because I can tell you that corruption is contagious, okay? And to the extent that, for instance, a country like Russia is on the economic rocks, the reason is that corruption is the rule of the day. And in fact, Putin just fired some of his generals. And one of the reasons he gave was that the level of corruption was unreasonable. Okay? So he's suggesting, right with this very statement of the firing, that some level of corruption is okay, but this was unreasonable. Well, you know what level of corruption is okay?
None.
Zero. None.
You know, Trump just said that he talked to Vladimir Putin recently, and Vladimir Putin is willing to release the reporter.
Yeah, the reporter from the Wall Street Journal.
If he becomes the president of the United States. I've already got that deal worked out. I mean, come on, Sandy. I mean, that's not normal. These aren't normal things that we're talking about, and they've never happened historically before. Maybe one in some instances, some of these things under different presidents happen, Sandy, but not all of them by one person.
Well, I just think we need to make sure that we're vigilant and that we don't let things become old hat and get used to it because we dismiss it as being the idiosyncrasies of the individual, because we need to be vigilant about protecting the United States, the rule of law, and avoid rampant corruption.
All right, hang on the lines, 844-967-2789. We'll come right back to you. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Jane is off, but I, Greg Bach, am your host for today, and we welcome guests Matthew Filipovich, Esther Flonays, and we have Fancy Brian Kelly as our guest host for the first hour. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones in your area. Check 511WI.gov or download the free 511 app to see current road work, closures, detours, and camera views on your route. Wherever your travels take you, know before you go with 511WI.gov. That's 511WI.gov. And remember, know before you go. Always park the phone while driving. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.